This is the BBC.
This podcast is supported by advertising outside the UK.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is a podcast of the highlights from today's Woman's Hour. Copyright issues mean that we can't always include all the items from the programme. Now, today we are journeying into what some might consider the heart of culinary darkness, chilled soup, gazpacho. On a hot day, of course, in Andalusia, it probably makes perfect sense, and it is the perfect way to use up all the really delicious ripe tomatoes that there are around at the moment. The food writer Felicity Cloak is here. Hello, Felicity.
Hello.
You better just tell us, I mean, is it just not the done thing to ever serve this hot?
Well, interestingly, I've never seen it served hot, but apparently it can be in Spain. But I think that would spoil it because it's such a fresh-tasting dish that you just wouldn't want to muddy those flavours by heating them.
But, I don't know, the Brits can be just... it's like picking up a cup of tea when you expect it to be hot and it's not. I've been shocked by gazpacho in the past. I think that's the problem.
Yeah, I think we do have a cultural aversion to it, possibly because our climate doesn't really call for chilled soups very often.
Tell us about the ingredients you've got. First of all, the kind of tomatoes. Are they very important?
The only thing you need to know about the tomatoes to go into gazpacho is they have to be really ripe. You can't use any kind of anemic orange supermarket tomatoes. No. So it's only worth making these if you're sure about your tomatoes.
And they have to be the big ones?
The big ones I think are best because you get fewer seeds in them basically in proportion to the flesh. But anything that tastes good will make a good gazpacho.
Now, you have both green and red pepper, don't you?
I do, yes. That's a bone of contention. When I first published this recipe in The Guardian, I got some angry letters about the green pepper. But actually, it is traditional in some parts of Spain, and I think it adds quite a nice sort of very herbaceous edge to the soup, which kind of really brings out the flavour of some of the other ingredients. But if you don't like it, you can leave it out.
Yeah, why did the purists object to green peppers?
Because they say that their grandmother didn't put them in and she was from Granada and so on and so forth.
I mean, there are those of us with digestive issues who can't cope with red peppers. But you could leave them out, could you?
Well, the thing is, I think the food writer Lindsay Berham actually described this soup really well when she described it as a salad soup. And I think if you think about it like that, you just put whichever raw ingredients are really ripe into the soup and it will probably work. You could, you know, if you don't like the peppers, you could leave them out. You could put in, I've seen courgettes, I've seen fennel, whatever you think would work well, just experiment.
What about the bread then? What sort of bread does that have to be?
I think that you have to have bread with a little bit of body because basically what the bread does is it makes it quite creamy and rich. If you leave it out, you just get a salsa basically, which Elizabeth David apparently liked, but I don't rate. So I think you need to, because you soak it, you don't want any kind of sliced white bread that's basically going to fall apart. So you need to soak it in water for about 20 minutes and then you squeeze it out, as I'm doing now, and put it in. And it shouldn't fall apart, it should just be nice and sort of...
It's stale, is it? Or stale-ish?
Stale-ish, yeah. Which is basically the point of the dish, was to use up stale ingredients. So that's why that makes sense.
So day-old bread, is it?
Day-old bread, yeah. I mean, sourdough kind of goes stale relatively quickly anyway. So,
and the olive oil, I mean, you can get olive oil so many different sorts of qualities and prices.
Yeah.
What do you use?
I like to use Spanish olive oil just because it feels right in this dish, but you don't want anything too expensive or too, because you put a lot of it in, or too peppery or green because it really can take over the dish. You just want a quite nice, rich-flavoured olive oil. That will blend in well with the other flavours.
Now, the exact recipe is already on the Woman's Hour website, and so we won't trouble you with absolutely every single detail. But you do, at the very end, add sherry vinegar, don't you?
I do, yeah. You don't need to use sherry vinegar. That's a little bit like the olive oil for me. It just feels more Spanish. You can use red wine vinegar, they do in Spain. That's fine, but it might seem an odd ingredient. Apparently, it's a hangover from the Romans, who like to use vinegar as a kind of refreshing ingredient in their summer dishes. But you'd be surprised how it really brings out the flavour of the other ingredients.
Well, how doesn't it just overrun everything else?
Well, obviously you don't want to put too much of it in, but it seems to really point up the acidity of the tomatoes. So quite often I'll make it and I think, oh, maybe these ingredients weren't quite ripe enough. This isn't how I intended it. And then once you've chilled it and you taste it, you put a bit of vinegar in and it really, really works. It tastes so fresh.
And everything is then liquidised. We're not going to do that part because I think the noise would finish everybody off. You've got your own liquidiser here, which I gather is quite a pricey one. If you've just got one of the handheld ones, is that okay?
Yeah, you obviously should do it in small batches in a handheld one, because otherwise you might end up repainting your kitchen tomato coloured.
What, you'd splat everything
over? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it should be fine. I mean, I like to, if I'm serving this soup at a dinner party or something, then I'll pass it through a sieve afterwards to get rid of all of the little bits of tomato pip and pepper skin and things. But, I mean, you don't need it to be really, really smooth. It's quite a rustic dish, so that should be absolutely fine, really.
Now, I mean, is this... It's not a substantial soup, is it? Well, so if you were serving it as a starter, what would be the best thing to follow this? I'm thinking about the combination of flavours here. What would follow this soup?
I think that it would be really nice to do it with kind of a Spanish fish dish of some sort, because it's, you know, it's quite light. There's lots of Mediterranean flavours there. Even perhaps a paella or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you want something a bit more solid, don't you? I'm just thinking of people who like to get their carbs down. A nice paella would be a good thing to follow it with. OK, I'm really quite keen. I know in the great tradition of cooking on the radio and the television, we've got one that you made earlier.
Indeed.
Which I think you can give me a little taste. Decant. Yeah, that's quite a thought. While you're doing that, you might be at home querying the point of our Cook the Perfect series. I'm sure you're not, but just to impress you and to bring home the point of it all, here's an email from Claire who says, I wanted to say thank you, actually, for your Cook the Perfect series. A couple of weeks ago, I printed off a recipe and instructions for scones, and I came home with first prize from the village show. I wanted to attach the photo of my scones, but I didn't get that option. Yeah, well, we probably didn't need that detail. But, Claire, thank you very much, and congratulations on your award-winning scones, which you only achieved because of Woman's Hour. That's what we're here for. So I think the soup can now be brought over to me. You are adding what as a garnish, Felicity?
I am adding, to make it slightly more substantial, I'm adding a little bit of chopped serrano ham, a little bit of chopped hard-boiled egg, which... I think some Spaniards would thrill with horror at, but I think works quite well.
Thank you.
Some mint to make it really fresh and some black olives. But it's entirely up to you. Some people I know like to add some sort of crumbled sheep's cheese, works quite well with those flavours too.
Sheep's cheese is lovely.
Yeah,
yeah.
Lovely saltiness.
I had that for the first time a couple of days ago and I was amazed by how nice that was. Right, let's take a... Yes, I have got a soup spoon for those people who like standards. You can confirm that, can't you?
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. Okay. That's absolutely... It is really, really good. And I have to say, I'm probably not, or wasn't, a huge fan, or I didn't think I was. Lovely bit just dribbled onto the table there. Right, fantastic. Mop that up. Do you have it straight from the fridge?
I think you've really got to have it very well chilled. Some people say you can make it quite quickly and put ice cubes in it.
Oh,
that
no.
Tends to dilute it. It's a great dinner party thing, because you have to make it ahead and you have to have it tepid soup. That's not good. Chilled or hot?
That tastes quite garlicky as well.
Yeah, well, that garlic is quite an important ingredient. Maybe not one for 11 o'clock in the morning.
Well, yeah, no, I've just... two whole cloves.
Yes.
I'm going to be
punchy.
Winning loads of friends for the rest of the morning. Felicity, that is absolutely delicious. Thank you very much. And the full recipe is, of course, on the Woman's Hour website. You've been listening to the edited highlights of today's Woman's Hour on BBC Radio 4. For more podcasts, go to bbc.co.uk/podcasts.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.